All right, is everyone ready? We are narrowing down the year. Hard to believe, time flies so much when you're having fun. As we wrap up the year and really reflect on progress that you've made, it's also time to start planning if you have not already for next year. So we wanted to go back through a review around the business planning process. Note that, like all things at Limitless, you can go skinnier on this process, right? Lighter. You can go deeper on this process if you have a team of 10 and you're doing offsite retreats. And there are resources for you under strategic planning, business planning, and action and accountability in the library, irrespective of what level you're applying these at. And Natalie and I will give you some examples as we go. We joke, Adam's business plan is his one-page plan is still on a yellow notepad. He doesn't even use the worksheet. It doesn't matter. I don't care, because what he has is a system. That system can be a post-it, which is what it was for Adam in year one. It can be a one-page business plan, which is what it's been since. But what matters is that he has a clear system for defining his vision and goals and to hold himself accountable, right? To benchmark against as he makes decisions. Does this align with the plan that I have for my practice? Is it going to create the outcome and the results that I want? So that's really the focus of today's call. I've got Natalie, Coach Natalie here with me. Here's what we're going to cover today, right? A proven process for managing performance. We talk about this when we kick off the year, and I just wanted to do a quick review. All change processes, whether you're on your own or you're in a team of 100 or a team of 1,000, all change processes that work have three factors: clarity. What are we doing and why are we doing it? Why does it matter? How does it align? If we don't have that, it's just a bunch of stuff. I want to grow 20% a year because that's what everyone does. I want to do X because it's on my list. So that's where mission, vision, values, that three-year vision really comes in. Transparency, this is the piece very few people get right, which is where most plans break down, is we just decide something and we have no process to execute, to monitor and manage how we're progressing. And that's where transparency comes in. This is with your quarterly business reviews, with your monthly or your weekly team meetings or your marketing meetings, which we'll talk a little bit about and which are really covered in depth in the review workbook. If we don't have a line of sight between what we said we wanted and what we're actually doing in relationship to that and how it's going, then it's just a wish, which means that the odds are overwhelming at the end of the year. You'll wish you'd gotten around to it, but you'll be a little bit frustrated that you hadn't. So when you put a disciplined planning process in place, and you follow it, your execution tends to go up to about an average of 70%. Not 100%, by the way, because nobody rocks everything every quarter, not even us. But we ultimately want to get to that 70% or better point. And in many cases, we don't even know what the priorities are, much less how we're executing on them. So again, even if it's you or you and a part-time assistant, it's really about how you're holding yourself to that plan. That becomes your calendar, it becomes your time. But it also becomes, right, what are the activities and how are you tracking them? And then we hit accountability, which is what are you doing on a consistent basis to make sure that the decisions and behaviors that you're engaging actually align with the goals and the outcome that you want? Because remember, we all know we spend a lot of time and energy getting busy and doing that factory focus fakey work, but it may or may not be fiercely aligned with the vision and goals that we want to achieve. And there's usually something standing between us and that. So your disciplined process is really about you can't manage what you can't measure. So again, it could be a post-it, it could be a one-page plan, it could be the deeper resources, but have you laid out a plan that's proactive? Is it process-driven? Kevin, it can't just be like, oh, I wonder if I'm on track, middle of July, right? What's that system, as Tiffany likes to say? The system must be greater than the resistance it will experience. And when it comes to business planning, let's be honest, the resistance is the day-to-day and the fact that we have to really step out of it and get in a completely different headspace to have these conversations with ourselves. So we have to make sure that there's a time and a space for accountability in our business planning processes. So as you look at your calendars for next year, remember Mondays on the business days. It's where you put on your CEO hat and run the shop. Run the business, working on it, not in it. That's when you should be having team meetings, planning sessions, right? Reviewing your marketing results, reviewing your business plan, reviewing your mastermind group up, like whatever it is, Mondays are your days to work on it and hold yourself accountable to it, right? And the rest of the week, you can schedule things that you need to do to support it. So you can go back and watch the vision lesson. You can watch the action and accountability lesson. If you want to go deeper with teams, you can watch the strategic planning lessons. There's a lot of deep stuff there. And Tiff and Jared have graciously shared a lot of the process that they've applied based on their work at Limitless to really get their teams both involved, because ultimately people who are involved tend to be much more invested. So this isn't just a process for you. If you have even a part-time person or any kind of a team, it's about creating alignment and interest and investment in the goals that we set out, which means that we need to show purpose, because people, remember, need two things: purpose, what are we doing and why, and progress. Is our time, energy, and effort actually making a difference? Both you want that and your teams want that. So we're going to go through the quarterly review workbook, the business review workbook, which walks you through doing a quarterly business review to make sure you're aligned with your annual planning process. Again, you do not have to fill out every page of the workbook every time, but I want you to get in the habit of thinking about and reflecting on these kinds of thoughts and ideas as you set up your plans and priorities for the next quarter. This is our mapping your business model worksheet. Natalie and I were actually talking about this going into the call, right? This is where you're going to translate the ideas about what you want to do over the next 3 years, which you should do every year, by the way, because you're future casting. Whatever happened this year, right? Your next 3 years is, right, plus four from where you started this year, right? And plus four. So you're constantly reiterating, but it's good to sit down, remind yourself of the mission, vision, and values, describe what it will look like. This is the hard part for most people that we skip. Vincent, I literally want you to say, I come in every day, I do work with people, I wrote 56 people that I really love, it energizes me. I'm focusing on energy creating activities. I feel productive when I leave. I'm creating the income and the lifestyle that I want. Our clients feel like they get deep value, and we have, you know, incredible, you know, client survey scores. Like whatever, like if you, Kevin or Edwin or Aaron, were going to paint us the picture of what that awesome practice looked like, what would it look like from a descriptive standpoint? And then only we get into the tactical pieces. Right. Natalie loves to go through these in business plans. Like, where are we? Where are we going to go?
I think what's really important here is there's some neuroscience behind it as well. I actually really love printing out this worksheet and writing with your hands, because there's science that says that, hey, we just learned how to type with our fingers and our thumbs. And so actually using pen to paper ingrains those things into our neurocircuitry. And so when we sit down and we say, what's our mission? What's our vision? What's our values? What's it look like? And then we get into the real like goal setting piece of it. How big do we want to be? What's our average revenue per client? How many days off do I want to do? I cannot tell you the number of people I say like, hey, I want to take 60 days off a year, but then they don't track it. They don't measure it. They're like, I don't know how many days I took off this year. And when we don't know, it's almost always less than what we set the goals for. So I think this is a really critical piece of the process, is just getting 100% clear on what you want it to be like and what you want it to look like. And that's where I also love the other box. I have clients who work in kind of a progressive space, and we've set a goal for impact. How are you going to impact and give back in the world, right? That's really important to them. And so when you take a look at those three-year goals, like, hey, where do I want to be in 3 years? Where do I want to be in 1 year? And where am I today? That last column really becomes a little bit more clear, because now you can see the gap in where you are and where you want to be. But one of the things that I recommend is start on the right and work your way left. Always start with the vision of where you want to be, and then work to, okay, now here's where I am. Because that does another thing for your brain, which it says, hey, I actually get to think from that future state and my future self. What would I be doing? What are the things that I've done to get here? As opposed to looking at it as like this large bridge that you have to cross that has these huge gaps in it. So like as you're filling out this worksheet, I think those are some tips and tricks to help you get into like a really positive state of mind as you're thinking about where we're going and what we're doing.
Well, think about it iteratively, right? So if you're at revenue X and you want to be at revenue plus 50% X in 3 years, 1 year is going to look different than 2 years is going to look different than 3 years, right? But everyone might sit down and say, right, that 3 year gap, which you don't need to be afraid of, because the gap is just information. It's your roadmap for change. Edwin can look at his current math and go, hey, that's 27 people. Or, hey, you know what? In my new model, that's going to be 15 people at a higher revenue or a higher price point or a higher minimum. And then our brain, to Natalie's point, starts to actually triangulate, what will it take to make that happen? Where am I going to find 27 people? So we get all freaked out, like, oh my God, I'm going to grow. It's going to be so much work. And it is work. But if you realize it's 27 people over 3 years, to use that example, that might mean it's 5 people in year one and 10 people in year two and, you know, 15 people in year three, right? Like, when you can break it down for your brain, it becomes a lot less intimidating. To Natalie's point, we don't tend to break it down. We tend to go, ooh, big goal, very fuzzy and ambiguous, not going to put any great pencil to it, just going to be squishy around the edges, you know, Charlie Brown's mom, wah, 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 wah. And then at the end of the year, you're going to be like, but I worked so hard. I don't know why I didn't hit all those goals. This is where clarity really counts. When you tell your brain, I'm going to need to find 27 clients at this amount of revenue, it starts to go, oh, well, I'm a curiosity problem solving machine. I guess I should get on board with that. That's why reviewing your goals on a weekly, monthly, consistent basis are super helpful. And aside, when you set those goals, it's in the library. We didn't pull it into this session, but if anyone remembers Jed's Limitless Life book, it sets out his goals and then the principles and the strategies. Here's my time model for the year. Here's my client model. Here's my fee model. And he reviews that. I think it's every week or every month, every week. And he's like, man, I review that every week. And it reminds me what I'm doing and why, what I'm doing and why, what I need to do and why I need to do it to fill that gap. There's a level of consciousness when we review that roadmap for change and what our goals are from a, right to Natalie's point, a place of positive belief and intent, our brains are much more likely to get on board. But if we go like, hey, I need to market more, our brain goes, I don't know what that means, Kevin. Good luck with that. If it's, hey, I need 27 people, which means I'm going to need to have 3 COI meetings, devote, you know, 4 hours a week to digital marketing, then your brain's like, okay, I can triangulate and I can make that happen, right? I've got enough coordinate information to really kind of create some directions for you. So the more you review and reflect on it, the more it bakes into your brain as the target that you want your brain to work towards. So Natalie's point, you want to go through each of these areas and get really clear about what that roadmap for change is and what it will take, not from a place of fear and scarcity, but from a place of possibility and abundance. What will it take is a wildly different question than, how am I going to do that? Where are those clients going to come from? Notice the difference in the conversation and the tone. But if I sit down and I say, hey, you know, I'm getting 4 clients a year and I want to get 12 clients a year, what's it going to take? You genuinely have good information and intellect to be able to start to figure that out. Hey, if I'm doing this to get 4 and it's all referrals, then could I double that? What would it look like if I doubled that? What are the things I would have to do? Should I do an advisory board? Should I put a referral program in place? Should I be doing referral workshops? Now you can start to narrow how I'm going to do it. And I hope you guys have figured out by now, there's no shortage of how running around Limitless. There's no lack of how, right? It's just harnessing what you want to do. So this is our 1-page business plan. You've seen this many, many times as an example. The goal is not to fill this out for the whole year because, Laura, whatever you put on in Q3 is probably not going to happen in Q3, right? But understanding, going back to that workbook, what are our priorities for the year? And then each quarter, going back through that launch process, which is very similar to EOS or Traction. If you use that, no worries, go for it. It's about really looking at the broader plan and then saying, what am I going to invest my time and energy on the business in each quarter to make sure that I'm doing things that really move the needle? Not 50 little things, not that there's not a lot of those, but Aaron and Roseanne and Danny, like, what am I going to do in Q1 that's going to really move the business forward? Is it a fee issue, a systems issue, a staffing, a marketing? So you guys have all gone through this a bit, but and we're going to do some breakouts so you have more time to talk about it. But really, Adam has this on a yellow pad. He literally goes through every year, and I don't care that it's on a yellow pad. What I care about is he has a system. He has a place where he captures his priorities, and he reviews and reflects on them regularly. When you do that, your odds of achieving them go up to well over 70%, especially if you share it with someone. It goes up to over 85%. If you don't, the odds drop precipitously. So this is really the time, if you haven't yet, to sit down and go through the vision workbook and ask yourself, what's my plan for next year? Remember, the workbook has the five big moves. If you did nothing else, that could be your plan for next year. The business plan just gives you, right, a one-page format to kind of focus, how am I getting from the big goals to the objectives to the priorities that I need to attack? And again, if you guys do these drafts and need feedback, that's what we're here for. Here's what the quarterly review workbook covers. Natalie and I are going to take you through this pretty quickly, and then we're going to do some breakouts to help you really start to think about priorities and plans for next year. One, financial performance. Are we on track? Why or why not? What needs attention? What am I going to have to do? What action will it take? Do I need to generate more leads? Do I need to improve conversion? Do I need to improve messaging so I'm not losing as many people? Do I need to strengthen my call to action because they're getting to the contact us page, but half of them are dropping out, right? If we start to really get clear on the what's not working, we can ask ourselves good questions around finances, practice, marketing, and your personal performance. Are you focusing your time, Vincent? Are you doing the things that you said you wanted to do this year? If you're not, because you're human and people get in the way, what are the things that are sitting in between you and that progress, and how can you account for them? So this really asks you to look at the financial performance of your practice. The practice itself, is it operating and running in the way that you want? Is your marketing driving the growth, the profitability, and the results that you want? And then how are you doing? Is your momentum right? Are you empowered? Are you operating from that positive state? And if we look at these four areas, then we're going to be in a much better position to really build that plan of attack.
Yeah. Well, and I think the critical piece of adding all these components together is it gives you a roadmap to measure your progress. It gives you a structure to create progress, right? Because when left to our own devices, I'd probably rather sit around and watch Netflix than move forward. So, right, having that structure is going to enable you to create that consistent progress. Like we all talk about creating big goals and how do we get to them? And we hear all of these success stories and all these wonderful things. But what Adam can tell you, what all of the people that have been through Limitless, when you say, hey, when do I get to be that person? Right? It wasn't necessarily leaps and bounds, it was something that they did consistently, regularly, over and over and over again. Right. And that's where the business planning piece really comes into play because it allows you to set your objectives, your priorities, and then set small incremental steps to move forward in each of those areas. It focuses you on what's most important in what you want in your business and your life, and it gives you a structure to get there. That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that every day is going to be fun, but it does create that model when you say, hey, it's hard today. All right, what's the model that I put in place? What's the goals? Okay, I committed to working on my business on Mondays from 1 to 3. All right, I know that's tough. My brain doesn't want to do it, but I can go back and look at my why and the purpose and what do I get from doing it and sit down and spend that time. So I think that's a really important piece of this is having a consistent structure that's reviewed annually, quarterly, monthly, and even on a weekly basis, keeps you moving forward towards your goals when your motivation isn't always there. Because I think when we set goals, there's a lot of motivation and energy and enthusiasm. And what I can promise you is 6 weeks later, you're not going to feel the same energy and motivation. Motivation actually works in a curve. So that's, I think, a big piece of this is creating that structure to keep you moving forward.
Well, and the thing I want you to think about is if you're sitting down on a Monday or any day, but Monday time should be blocked at this point, certainly going forward, and you don't know what to do, you have not defined that in advance. The odds are overwhelming that you will not do it or you will waste that time. So this is where having a clear set of priorities, even if it's what is the one thing in Limitless I'm working on right now, and that time is devoted to that consistently, however you've time blocked weekly, et cetera. If you sit down and go, oh, I've got 2 hours, what do I need to do? You'll waste an hour of the 2 hours figuring out what to do, which is why, again, we want to lay out that clear roadmap for change. and then really talk through each quarter. Hey, Dana, what are the things we're going to focus on? What is the team communicating around? How are we reporting our progress and making sure that we're doing it? So again, it's making sure that you have habit patterns for clarifying, creating transparency, and creating accountability. If we don't have some structure with ourselves and or our teams, we simply cannot create that flywheel, right? The momentum that brings change. Here's a quick overview of what's in the quarterly business review. And again, we're gonna speed through it and then do some breakouts. One, right? What's the three-year vision, your one-page plan, and your landscape? What's going on in the markets? What's going on in your practice? What does that fit in? Does anything need to change in our business or our client model? This is the time to decide it. Hey, I need to increase my minimum or raise my fees or clarify my services so I can make it more tangible and feel confident in the value, or I need to hire people, right? This is the what resources do we have? Then you're going to set your 90-day plans, right? That's each quarter. Dana, what are the things we're going to focus on this quarter? There's an action plan form. It might take you an hour to get through the workbook, but you're going to find that that hour is going to be so wildly invested in creating clarity that's going to help you move forward. When Dana sits down and says, well, I need to do this, but the roadblocks are, I don't know this and I don't know about that, and I got to figure this out. Now, again, we have a roadmap for change. If we know what we don't know, what can we do, Dana? We can go figure it out, right? Yeah. We can call someone or ask someone. So it's getting really clear, but a lot of times we get overwhelmed and we don't take time to create that clarity. And as a result, we get around to things when we have time, which isn't very often. So that 90-day plan is a staple in your success diet. If you sit down and you put one project on a post-it, Laura, and you stick it on your computer and you're like, this is all I do until it's done, that would be a huge win, right? We don't bring that level of discipline, which is why we have deeper processes, but it's really about, can you force yourself? Can you create a forcing mechanism to work on the business? And then can you monitor and manage, this is your accountability, financial performance. If you're looking at those numbers every week, every month, every quarter, you're going to be really tuned in. Hey, where are my SEO numbers? My conversion rate isn't where I want. I'm not getting the number of prospect calls. Hey, markets were down. I got to focus on share a wallet. What or referrals? So that's where those reviews help us evaluate where do we need to tweak things financially? Where does the practice need to change? This is where we look at our benchmarks, our metrics, right? Anything we're trying to pay attention to really elevate the game. Marketing performance, again, there's deeper details, but you want to be looking at all of your growth channels and how they're performing on a consistent basis, because you are a marketing data scientist if you're doing marketing right. Doesn't mean you have to love it or be perfect at it, but it means you need to look at it to be really aware of what's working and what's not and how you can start to fine tune. Remember, refine and repeat that growth engine, that marketing machine we talk so much about. And then last but not least, your personal and professional goals. To Natalie's point, you can say, I want more time off, but are you tracking your hours worked per week? Are you tracking the days off that you take? Are you holding yourself accountable to those things? Are you working on energy creating activities? If you're not, what's holding you back, right? What's keeping your momentum from being in that positive, empowered success state that's really driving things forward, which is probably the most important thing that you can do, because when you get in that lane, even if you don't do any of the other stuff tends to get done, right? When we show up clear, conscious, and committed, it doesn't matter if it's on a piece of paper or a post-it or a 50-page plan, we show up and we apply ourselves and we get things done. So that's the overview. And again, Natalie and I are going to go through this really quickly because you can dive into it, but it's going to take you through those review areas that we talked about. How did you do this quarter? How is performance? Are you clear on your goals and priorities so that as you're going through, you're now in a position to, did I skip one? Let me go back. Sorry. You're in a position to get the information that you need.
Yep. So as you look at the business review and preparing, there are some things that you might want to pull together, right? What's your P&L budget versus actual financial performance is a really critical thing we want to continue to plan for and measure on an ongoing basis. Your AUM reports, how many new clients have they contributed? What's going on in the market? How do we plan for that? Because we all know the markets fluctuate, so we have to think about how does that impact or change my goals for new clients or where I need to focus in the business. Taking a look at your business pipeline, right? where are clients coming from? I cannot tell you the number of times I go into a firm and I say, hey, where do your clients come from? They're like, oh, we don't know. We don't know. We don't track it. We have zero idea, right? And then I take them through the fun exercise. Well, let's go look at your last 30 clients and see where they came from, right? So having a system to do that consistently, not only makes your life easier, i.e. you don't have someone having to go back and do it when you start something new, it gives you a model to measure that performance, your practice benchmark, which is another way to kind of track your financials and how we break them down, and critical KPIs, right? We go in and we look at this and say, hey, our goal was to increase our average revenue per client from, let's say, 5,000 to 8,000, or from 8,000 to 10,000, right? If I don't track that progress, I'm not seeing the decisions that I make. You know, when we used to do this stuff with Quantumist, I remember we had a client, we sat down with them and they were like, oh yeah, no, we're doing great. And then we ran the numbers and we said, well, you took in three clients under your minimum this quarter. So your average revenue per client has literally gone down, not gone up. So it's another way to hold you accountable, right? So are you measuring your client profitability? So kind of setting out for you, which one of these are going to move the needle to make sure that you're measuring that performance. And that also can then share changes as you get to that quarterly process. Okay, this area is doing really good. I've actually maybe hit the goal sooner. How does that change next quarter's priorities, right? Maybe we've nailed marketing and it goes on autopilot. And now we really need to focus on adding a new team member because I'm not leveraged enough. So that's kind of then going into each quarter, going through that work, right? What is it I'm doing? Here are some of the metrics that I'm tracking. What are the goals that I have, right? Practice, professional, and personal. I think I always get the question, what's the difference between a practice goal and a professional goal, right? The way that I break it down is practice goals are goals for the business, things you want to change in the business, goals that you have around financials or new clients. Professional goals are what I consider to be leadership goals. How do I want to change who I am and how I'm showing up, or what areas do I want to grow as a professional? So maybe you're doing podcasting as a practice goal, and a professional goal might be, hey, I need to get better at public speaking. I want to hire a speech coach to help me with that, right? And that's going to be different than your personal goals, but it's really all of these things together collectively, right? We are not only our business, or only a leader, or only, you know, a dad or a mom, or ourselves in real life, or all of these things at the same time. So, right, sitting down and doing that at the same time makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, and I think the thing that's really important is 90% of you won't or haven't done this on a regular basis. So just sitting down and saying, what are my three big practice goals for the year, or personal or professional, is a clarifying exercise that forces Edwin or Christine or Rosario to say, oh, what are they relative to where I'm at and what I want to accomplish? Of the sea of everything that I am overwhelmed by on a daily basis, it's a forcing mechanism for focus. When you go through this workbook exercise, it is a continuous forcing mechanism to create clarity for your brain. What worked? What didn't? What do I need to do? What are the steps I need to take? What does success look like? What challenges might I face? If Dana goes, hey, I'm going to face the challenge of being scared of raising my fees or losing clients in an advisor transition, or right, updating my website, or I'm not going to have enough time or money. Now that we've put it out on the table, we're not governed by the fear. Now it's just a fact of data that we can sit there and really right start to assess and learn how and really focus on how to overcome. So each section in the workbook just takes you through a different piece of that forcing exercise. Once we've got our goals for the year, right, Aaron, I can say, hey, I've got this big practice goal. I want to double my client revenue, or average client revenue, over the next 3 years. Jody, you see how I just went from I want more to a very specific, I'm going to double my client revenue over the next 3 years. Okay, this year, what does that mean? I'm going to grow it by 25%, or this year, I'm going to raise my minimum and not take anybody that doesn't meet it. Hey, what does that mean in the next 30 days? I'm going to need to update my fee agreement and make sure I really love it. I'm going to laminate that baby so I cannot change my mind, right? What am I going to do in the next 60 days? Hey, I'm going to update the website, get my script organized. What am I going to do in the next 90 days? Hey, Dana, in order to execute that plan, right, by month three, you're going to be doing X, Y, or Z, having conversations, whatever it is. It, again, is just, it's like a a planning funnel the same way that we think about marketing funnels, right? We're going to start at the top. We're going to get narrower and narrower. We're going to continue to force our brain and our consciousness to say, how's it working? What do I need to do? So you can see, right, there's a lot of sections in here, but the goal is, right, how are we going to measure this? You do not have to go deep into 19 pages of reporting and benchmarking. You might pick two metrics, right? Average revenue per client and number of clients per advisor. Like, what are the couple of data points that are going to really tell you that you're moving the needle in the direction that you need to be moving it?
Those are kind of the high levels, but like get into the quarterly priorities as well, right? So what is the priority for each of those things? Erin and I did this recently in one of the coaching sessions is, okay, so we have this one page business plan. We have all these individual things, but then we went in and we said, what's the priority, right? If you don't get 100% of this done, what's the one or two things that if you get this done, it will actually move the needle and create success? Because what I know is when we fill out those plans the first time, you all put everything in the first two quarters.
Yeah.
And you all put way too much in the first two quarters. Every time we do it, I'm like, nope, you can't do that now. You have to wait for this. This goes here later. It's a really critical exercise to say, what's most important to me? And then go through that process on a regular basis. And as you get to that quarterly business review and you sit down, you're in like quarter two planning, going back to quarter one and saying, okay, what did we accomplish? What didn't we do that maybe wasn't as important as we thought it was? And it either needs to go into like the parking lot or our big ideas list again, and what needs to move over? And then what are those upcoming goals and priorities? And then reprioritize it. Because I think we all feel like, hey, we set a plan and it's locked in stone and it shouldn't move. And the reality of it is I've never worked in a business or on a project where the plans didn't change, where the projects didn't evolve, where everything started and ended on time. So this is what I like to call, it's an iterative process, right? Your business grows and evolves. You need a planning process that allows you to grow and evolve with it, right? So those are like the big pieces that we need to bring together each and every quarter to keep that progress moving.
So keep in mind, you're not completing the workbook for the year. You're completing the initial section for the year. And then each quarter, you're going through and answering the questions so that you know what to put in the one-page plan if you need that additional guidance and direction. Some of you will just be like, Joe will be like, next year, I'm working on this and this and this. And you'll drop that into those big objectives. And each quarter, I'll be like, okay, what am I going to tackle, right? I'm going to update the fee schedule or the website or whatever it is. If you need help getting that clarity, the workbook is there. Obviously, calls like this are here, right? And we're on Tribe, email, office hours, et cetera, one-on-ones to make sure, as Natalie did with Erin, we can help you get really clear and focused on a plan to get committed to. I don't care if there's two things on it. It's about getting in the habit of picking and progressing. If, Dana, you pick anything and you sit down on a regular basis and you work on it and you get it done, at the end of that, you're going to feel 1,000 times more productive and empowered than you are if you're like, oh, I need to get some stuff done this quarter. I didn't quite get around to it. Like, our ability to hold ourselves accountable to create a sense of purpose, right? Clarity and progress is what we need to feel good, right? We're always talking about what makes it work. Remember, this is the what it feels good part. I don't care if there's one thing on this page. It's about sitting down and saying, I'm intentionally choosing how I'm going to invest my time in this practice and to what effect. What are the results that I am choosing to get through that work? Not going to be perfect, not going to be right to Natalie's point, right on point. And every time, like, that doesn't happen here, it's not going to happen there. But you hit 70 or 80%, you're going to see that flywheel start to move. And that's where we get those hockey stick effects, right? It builds and it builds and it builds. So a couple of best practices. This is so important. Just get started, then get better. Here's my post-it from the beginning of the year. Still sitting here, right? Want to do this? Want to take 6 weeks off? Want to do this? Want to scale staff? Want to build a happy, high-performing team? Right here, right there every day. That's my business plan. Like, it's condensed into a post-it. So every single morning I can remember, and then we can get better. All right, we can build a team process, right? We can engage the team. So it's not about a perfect process. It's not about a three-day exhaustive planning retreat. It's about sitting down, Kevin, Edwin, Aaron, Laura, and saying, what is it I want to create over the next few years? What do I need to do next year to make that happen? What's the roadmap for change that I need to fill? And then how am I just going to get a little bit better at it than I was before? So again, you can have a post-it on your desk. And if you use that, it will be and can be just as effective as a 90-page business plan. It's about having something clear to focus on, because that's what governs our decisions and our behaviors. Two, sharpen your axe. If you're too busy to have any kind of process, it definitely means you need a process. In meditation, we joke that everyone should meditate for 30 minutes a day unless they're really busy, in which case they should meditate for an hour. I feel the same way about planning. Hey, everyone should plan, right? Sit down for 20 or 30 minutes and review their goals and progress for the week relative to the month, year, and quarter. If you don't have time, you should spend even longer, right? Because it means we're on the flywheel of overwhelm and just get in and do it. And we aren't able to hit the pause button and really be a governing regulator in our business. The governing regulator is the person that can sit in the middle of the mayhem and say, what do I need to focus on to make what I need to have happen, happen? It might be working on clients today and getting to planning later. It might be making sure you've got planning in the schedule. But what are the things that you can focus on? If you've read Deep Work by Cal Newport and a couple of other favorite books, right? Essentialism, fabulous book. If you want to be more successful, you're going to give up doing about 80% of what you're doing. Don't freak out, because about 50% of that 80% is fake and factory work. It's not even like high value work you want to do, right? It's putting ourselves in the position to do that higher impact, higher value work, which means we can't do too much, which is our notorious habit. And then fourth, as you've heard us say so many times here at Limitless, consistency really does compound. If you check in with yourself every week relative to your goals, that awareness is going to drive action, which is going to drive, right, accountability and agency over your practice that's going to yield you results that are very different than if you don't do that. That's why we look at the marketing data and the results for the quarter. If you do that, that's why Jed looks at his Limitless Life book every week. Here's what I said I wanted. Here's the time model. Here's the clients I'm going to work with. Here's why it matters to me. You're constantly reminding your brain, this is the operating system. These are the GPS instructions. This is what I want to create. If you don't do that, ladies and gentlemen, the world will happily do it for you. Your business is like, Angie Herbers has this great saying, your business is like a spoiled toddler. It will never get enough time, energy, or attention. No matter what you give it, it will want more and more and more. So it's our job to get really clear and sit in the seat of what are the behaviors, right? Thought habits, business habits, behavior habits that we can engage consistently over time, that if we do them, if you look at your marketing results every week, even if you're clueless when you start doing it, Joe, and you do it week after week after week, and you're like, I don't even know what this data means. I'm just going to go Google it. Would you in the span of 52 weeks be a better marketer? What do you think? Just best guess. Yes, you would. And we're like, I don't know how to market. And I'm like, I don't know how you're going to get better at it if you don't spend any actual time on it. Right. So we talk about marketing all the time, but it's not like you just go do it and everything works perfectly and clients fall from the sky. Right. We got to refine and repeat, refine and repeat. We got to hone the craft and figure those things out. And that's why building discipline of that what we're really talking about, we're just disguising it to be more palatable, is what we call a professionally managed firm. The best advisors that we have in Limitless, even the solos with very few people that get those killer results, have a professionally managed firm. They have disciplined processes. I don't care if it's a post-it or a one-pager or the cool one-page plan. They have a process for getting clear, getting focused, and getting to work each year, quarter, and month, and making sure, right, that they're inside the coloring inside the lines, if you will. So what's most important here is number one, just get started. I don't care what it is. Joe, if you sit down once a week with your post-it and you're like, how did I do this week? That's an amazing start, because next week you'll be like, well, I didn't do anything this week either. Wonder what I'm going to do next week. Maybe I'll do this one thing. And then you do that one thing. And then you do the next one thing. And now you're consciously thinking about, what am I investing my time in? Am I that process, that thought habit will make you better at the practice. And then day by day, in very big and small ways, that becomes your default behavior. You don't have to wait to set off for the meeting. Edwin's just going to show up and be like, actually, this isn't aligned. I don't know why I would do that. Right? Because he's training his brain to cross-reference everything against the goal. Is this what I was looking for? Is this what I wanted? Do I need to change tack? What will it take to do that? Right? So if we do that consistently, our brains can't not help it.
So as a next step, right? I love this, rip off and deploy, right? You don't have to create this from scratch. Limitless has built it for you, and you can up-level it or simplify it to meet your needs. I've definitely worked with people where we focus on the one-page business plan, and that's like the one thing that we look at every quarter in addition to the financial metrics and the marketing, but right, really keeping that focus and attention. So as you look at what you're doing for your quarterly business review, what's on your agenda and who needs to attend? So this is a fun one. If you are a lifestyle practice and a solo advisor and you don't have any staff, or you have an outsourced virtual assistant, guess what? This still applies to you. You need to do this work. If you're a larger firm, right? Who are the key stakeholders in your business? If you're a team of three people, it's everybody. If you're a team of 10, right? That's a different story. How much time are you going to spend on it? Are you going to wrap in team retreats? The most important thing that you can do here is set aside the time, and I recommend getting away from the office to do this, because as soon as I sit at my desk, the first thing I want to do habitually is check my email, check my calendar, look at my task list. So when I do strategic planning, I leave the office for 2 days at this time of year for annual planning. And for a half a day, I go to a WeWork and I work at a WeWork, right? Getting into a state and a space that's not going to pull you into old habits.
Just remove all the distractions. It gets a lot easier. If Joe's sitting at his desk and his email's there and there's someone coming, like, it just gets harder. So I have a client who goes to a lot of these. He runs a $1 billion firm. I'm not making this up. And he goes to McDonald's every Monday morning. He goes to McDonald's. I was like, dude, there are so many better places that you could go. He's like, I just go to McDonald's. I get my coffee and my McMuffin. I sit there. I look it over everything before I go into the office. He's just got it drilled. He was like, if I go into the office, it doesn't happen. And he's like, it's my little guilty pleasure. And I was like, dude, if an Egg McMuffin keeps you on track, go you. That's between you, God, and your doctor. Like, work out, eat some broccoli. It's going to be okay. But what he's investing in, can you imagine, Edwin, if you went to the coffee shop every Monday morning and you just started with my life book and am I on track and who are the clients, and you just reoriented your entire thinking habit process to, that's right, this is what I'm here to accomplish. Everything I do this week has to, right, orient me to these goals and objectives. So again, to Natalie's point, right, you don't have to have the Louis Vuitton bag. You can have the fake Louis Vuitton bag. We won't tell. It's about having a process that really serves you and getting clear, getting conscious, and getting committed to your priorities. So here's the kicker. You've all heard this a couple of times now. We like to review it at the end of the year because it's when we start to wrap up this year and our brains start to narrow, right? We're kind of cruising into the end of the year. I want you to do the opposite of that. I want you to use the next 60 days as a catalyst. This is your kick-ass clarity time, where you say, hey, you know what? I've learned a lot in Limitless. And the next thing I'm going to chunk away, because it's foundational, is when I sit down, whether I'm in Limitless or not, but let's say you're with us next year, we're doing, right, our breakthrough course with our 6 weeks classes on mindset, vision, and time, right? We're going to help you break this down. We'll remind you then. But if you do what we're talking about now, you shouldn't have to build the process. At that point, Joe, it becomes, what are the priorities? Right. So what is your process for planning your 3-year vision? What's your process for transparency? Right. How are you going to know what progress you're making? And then what's your process for accountability? Again, we've built that into the launch process. You can skinny it down. You can deepen it up. But it's about going through what we call the quarterly business review to get clear, get focused, and get aligned on where you're going to invest your time that quarter. All right. Do you guys have questions? I know you've heard this a couple of times, but it's really important as we hit the end of the year to really understand how we're going to enact change in our firm. It is not just showing up every day and hoping for a better result. any questions, because otherwise we're going to drop into some breakouts and let you guys
practice. All right.
So our room, we talked about vision and clarity, really some examples of how to curate a big idea. Ooh, I want to grow next year into a plan that you can sit down with each quarter, month, and each week and be like, hey, it's Isaiah. I know what I'm doing, you know, to implement my priorities this quarter. I know what I'm doing in the first 30 days, the next 60 days, and the next 90 days. So that's one of the things I wanted to pull back to the group. And then Natalie, I'll let you kind of share any key takeaways. Is when we sit down to break out the to build a plan in our head, doesn't like an invisible force field just show up where we're like, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know. Literally, even I do, I'm like, I don't know. And then it's about getting tactical and practical and breaking it down. So when we set those goals and those, if the, one of the key objectives next year, Jesse, is to grow, then Q1, it might be, right, build my marketing plan to drive, you know, 20% year over year growth. Like, that might be the Q1 priority. I got to do the research. I got to think about podcasts or blogs. I got to get clear on my niche. I got to update my website. But if you know, if you go through that vision workbook, that's where it has you break down your top three practice goals, personal goals, and professional goals. That's very helpful because if you know they are to grow revenue, you know, increase the client size, and I don't know, get some help on your team, right? So that you're leveraged better. When you sit down for that 90 days, there's a section 30, 60, and 90 days. Joe and I went through like, okay, if the goal is to build a COI, you know, growth engine, and one of those channels is a COI campaign, that's where the worksheet really helps. What do I do in the first 30 days? I got to build my COI campaign and identify a list of, right, 100 COIs I want to put through it. Next 60 days, right, next 30 days, hey, I'm going to build out that campaign, get it in my CRM, update the copy, write the letters, whatever it is, 90 days. I'm going to launch that campaign and I'm going to have that first meeting with 10 centers of influence. I went from, I got to grow. That's really hard. I don't really know what I'm going to do with my time to how am I going to grow? Where do I need to focus? What do I need to do in 30, 60, and 90 day increments? So just breaking it down into 30, 60, and 90 really helps your brain go, I don't know, how do I get started? When that's done, what's next? Oh, to really wrap this up in 90 days, here's what I'm going to need to do at the tail end of that. It doesn't mean that you're going to have every detail perfect and final and clear. We don't. What it means is you've got a track to run on. And we were talking, if I want to get my train from California to New York, if I just push it across the dirt, that's going to be really heavy lifting. If I lay some basic track, even a wood track, it's going to be easier. And when I get that really nice track laid where everything just runs smoothly, right, we're going to have very little friction and we're going to move relatively quickly right from one location to the other. That's what I want you to think about with your plans and your priorities. Is don't worry so much about them being perfect. Worry about laying the track, because as soon as you start, by definition, you will get better. So that's one of the takeaways I wanted to share with you all. Natalie, what happened in your room? Good stuff?
Good stuff. Although I think we got really to the breaking point of what our biggest issues are, and we're back in the room already.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. But three things I think came out, you know, in what we were talking about. How do we execute on building a plan? One is getting stuck on what the goals are and then how to break them down into the actual vision plan. So we started talking about, and I think this upcoming vision workshop that you're doing in November will be really helpful, is getting clear and taking some space away and time away to really just define what I want so that I can then break it down into, okay, what is the goal that's going to get me there, right? So Laura was sharing, you know, more time and flow, and like all the busyness comes in and it kind of disrupts me. So how do we then turn that into a goal, right? That might be focused on creating a better time schedule or creating boundaries with my clients in terms of when they can communicate with me, right? Those might be some of the goals we set in place in terms of building other processes. The second, which no one really loved or wanted to talk about except for a couple of people, which is how do we turn this into a business system? How do we create a workflow, right? You know, hey, I've got Wealthbox, I've got workflows. What's the three steps that I take every quarter to do this work? And so I think at a minimum, I would share, I didn't get to share it in the meeting, is at a minimum, put the days on your calendar. That's the base minimum workflow that you need to put in place, right? Strategic planning days should be a part of your annual planning process. So get those days on the calendar so that you have time to work on them. And as you get to your weekly schedule, break down, right? How many days a quarter am I going to do planning? Maybe it's a half day. How many hours a month am I going to work on these things? How many hours a week am I going to work on progress towards my goal? So if you haven't done the annual planning, the time calendaring, you know, how I'm setting up my schedule, that's a really good place to be. And then I think the third takeaway is flowing to execution, right? I've got a plan in place. How do I now start executing towards it?
Time on the calendar after decisions on priorities becomes where the rubber hits the road. If you do not put time on your calendar, the odds are overwhelming that you are not going to get really any dedicated focused time to set your priorities, break them into a 90-day plan, figure out what to do this Monday versus next Monday. We're just so busy. All really successful business owners and leaders make time for clarity because it's what ensures that the energy, time, and capital that we're investing is genuinely and truly aligned with our goals for the practice. And I think very much to Laura's conversation, when we get on the treadmill and we're just really busy spinning, we never feel like we can keep up. And we honestly don't feel like we can affect change. So this is that thing that feels really contrary to your system. Your brain's like, I'm not taking a time, 2 days. I'm not going to go to McDonald's every Monday morning. I don't really care what system you put in place. It is the system that will save you. It's how you will start to own your time, align your priorities, and make sure that the things you say you want and need to do are actually the things that you learn how to attack as a founder. It doesn't mean they're all easy. It doesn't mean they're all going to whippity snap out in 90 days and it's going to be perfect. But if we don't build a system to create new levels of success, then we're relying on our hardwired operating system. And I hope if you've all gotten anything from Limitless this year, it's that without affecting systems for change, thought habit systems, behavior habit systems, business practice systems, you are 95% hardwired to do today what you did yesterday. This whole conversation is about the fact that the odds of change are stacked against you 9 to 1. And the only way that we can affect change in the midst of our habits and hardwiring is to use that 5% to exercise agency. Awareness. What do I need? Where is it? Where do I need to be doing? What do I need to fix? Right? Action. What actions do I need to take? Accountability. Did I do it? Is it working? Not because, William, it's going to be perfect, right? You're going to have the perfect marketing machine on day one. It's because you laid the tracks and then you'll hit 12% and then you'll hit 15% and then you'll hit 18% and you'll hit 27% and then you'll get to 4. And one day you'll call me like Adam. He texted me the other day. He's like, oh my gosh, look at all this cool stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's pretty awesome. I'm used to it by now. Go Adam. Like, I was like, yay, go Adam. But like, for him, like, it's great that he sends me this. But I'm like, yes, of course I expect these awesome things from you at this point. He still gets excited about him, which is awesome, right? But that's his flywheel, is he knows that when he shows up and applies himself, not that it will be perfect, not that it will be easy, not that there won't be economics and effort, but he knows that he has the latitude to create change if he shows up and follows the system, right? And again, your job is to define the system that works for you. Your job is just to not, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't fib to yourself and tell yourself that you're building a system when you haven't built a system. So a couple basic takeaways, the business planning process, right? We've got the vision lesson, the action and accountability lesson, the strategic planning lesson. They're all there to help. It's about looking at your calendar for next year. You can do this whether you're in Limitless or not next year. Mondays are still work on the business days, right? You don't have 9 hours worth of work on Mondays if you put running the shop on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, which you should be able to do, which means you should have time for Limitless calls and or other things, right? Team meetings and, right, work on the business. So if you just look at your Mondays, you should be able to carve out 2 or 3 hours a Monday. I've got one of our clients, he does team meetings every other week. And then every other week, it's quiet time where he and the team work on business stuff. like, hey, you've got to go through the, like, whatever he needs from the team that week, they've got time allocated. If they don't need it, there's plenty of work to keep everyone busy. But they can sit down as a team and be like, hey, what are we going to get done in the next 30 days? Jay and do this, Bob's doing this, I'm doing this. All right, I know how to spend my Mondays. So you can really go into the calendar now, block out that time. You don't even need to know what you're going to do with it yet. You just know you're going to use it, Isaiah. There's plenty of opportunity to use it. Then as you're wrapping up the year, certainly if you're joining us next year and need help with that vision and clarity, we are, as I shared with our group, that 6-week course. We're really doubling down because getting clarity and building plans tends to be the place where people get hung up. So if you pick a priority and you go, you feel good. But if you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do next? That's where those invisible force fields, right? Those resistance pieces start to kick in. So we're going to really make sure that we get clear on what you want to accomplish and why from a, right, a thinking and a mindset perspective. We're going to give you very specific assignments. So if you can do that in advance, definitely go for it. There is no downside, right? And then how do you translate that into your calendar so that by the time we get through that quarter, you really do have this system built and launched and in place? And what you'll find is now you've laid the tracks, it will just deepen and anchor and you'll get better and better. And 2 years from now, you'll be joking like Adam, right? You'll be like, here's my one pager. I got this here. Like it just becomes it's a non-event for Adam to plan now. He just sits down with his team. He's got a process. Everybody knows how it works. They do the stuff. They don't hit all their goals every quarter, right? But they hit on average a good 3/4 of them, like most people who have a good process. So hopefully that helps you all get really clear and focused and get to work on getting yourself set up to really execute a strong plan that you feel confident about next year by one, creating a plan, and two, really curating a system and a process that put you in that founder leader role where you're managing with intention and discipline. Not one of my running a billion-dollar firm, so I thought you'd all really appreciate this. I was meeting with them a couple weeks ago, and the 83-year-old founder, which says a lot, and the 77-year-old founder, which also says a lot, they said, well, we've been running this place freestyle. Why do we have to get all disciplined about it? I'm like, well, because you have like two partners who are buying you for millions of dollars, and you got 12 people running around, and no one really knows what's going on or how it's happening. I was like, well, this freestyle thing has worked out okay, but it's kind of breaking down at the billion-dollar part. They are literally struggling with the, and they've done okay, but how did they get to $1 billion? They just grew. And what happens when you grow the revenue, but you don't grow the operation? When it doesn't mature with you, you just create a lot. You don't, trust me, nobody wants the complexity of this firm, right? We're spending a lot of time uncomplexifying this firm, to be honest with you. So you can grow without doing this, but what tends to happen is you end up sitting in the seat of looking at what you've grown and going, oh, this isn't exactly what I wanted, or it's harder or more complicated, or I'm not making enough, right? Or I'm not keeping enough, or I'm doing the wrong thing. So it's really about aligning your plans and priorities with the goals that are going to put you in the seat that you want to be in terms of your practice, your revenue, your income, the value to deliver to clients, and the time off that you take. So hopefully that gives you guys a little bit more to dive in and dig into plans as you hit 2024 and you know where to find us if you need help. Any pressing questions? Does anyone have any questions around their plan or takeaways as we wrap up today's call? Who else got a takeaway? Somebody give us a couple of takeaways. What'd you take away from today? Sharda, how about you?
So Natalie was great as far as connecting like the big picture plan to actionable goals. So that's going to be my focus is just, you know, do my vision, do my big plan, and then break it down into, okay, what do I need to do, you know, weekly, monthly, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think for those of you, right, who get, you know, you get your monthly check-in, if you're struggling, you need support, right? Reach out. Here's a draft of my plan, right? That yeah. What do I do in what order? Here's the trick. Yes, sometimes there's a better order to do things, but just doing things is better than doing nothing, right? So I think that's a big piece.
Yeah, I think Cheryl put it beautifully in the chat. Get started on 2024. If you can just take right time between now and our call on the 20th, to Natalie's point, we're going to do a cool version of visioning that I think you're going to really dig. that you can use to clarify and use with your team in a really fun and inspiring way. And then you can revisit those plans and priorities and then hopefully hit the ground running in January with the start of a plan. And again, if you're joining us next year and you need help defining that plan, we'll be there to help you define it. And to Natalie's point, if you've got drafts, you want to send them back with your check-in or post them on Tribe or email them for feedback, please let us know. That's what we're here to help you with, is to get the clarity that you need to get focused and get to work moving the needle, not just this year, but every year beyond. So it's been great chatting with you guys today. Hey, Josh, good to see you. If you've got any questions, don't hesitate to let us know, but hopefully this helps you get into a really empowered position to lay out your plans and your priorities for next year, so you know where to focus your time and attention and where to focus your team's time and attention in ways that are actually going to get things done and create that momentum that I know many of you are looking for. Yep, Kevin, stop stressing on the goal and focus on the steps. Our brains love to see the big hairy goal and go, oh gosh, I don't even know what to do with that. But the second that we go, what can I do in the next 30 days? What do I need to get done in 60 days? Hey, by 90 days, I'm going to need to have this built and practiced on a few people. Okay. I think to your point, to Natalie's point, we could kind of work from right to left at that point and build a bottom-up plan that gives us what we need to take that next best step. We just have to create clarity about what that next step is. So again, please feel free to reach out. Let us know how we can support you. And with that, Natalie, thank you for your time and coaching support today. It's always great to have friends on the call with us and to have deeper opportunities to break out with you guys. So as always, don't hesitate to reach out, but go forth, make it an awesome week. And just remember how incredible you really are as you build those plans. Can we just underscore the I'm so incredible as I build my plan piece? Please do that.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. I love the whoop, whoop. All right, guys, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.